And turn with me to Genesis chapter 1. It's the easiest scripture I'll ever give you to find. Genesis chapter 1, page 1 in your Bible. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 1 and let's hear together the Lord's word for us today. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night, and there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be a vault between the waters to separate water from water." And so God made the vault and separated the water under the vault from the water above it. And it was so. And God called the vault sky. And there was evening and there was morning the second day. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered to one place and let dry ground appear." And it was so. And God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kind. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening and there was morning the third day. And God said, "Let there be lights in the vault of the sky to separate the day from the night, and let them serve as signs to mark sacred times and days and years. And let them be lights in the vault of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day and the lesser light to govern the night. And He also made the stars. God set them in the vault of the sky to give light to the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening. Somebody was just like on the edge right there. And there was evening and there was morning the fourth day. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the vault of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living thing with which the water teems and that moves about in it according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and multiply in number and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening and there was morning the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, the livestock, the creatures that move along the ground, and the wild animals, each according to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kind, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Male and female, He created them. And so God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds in the sky and all the creatures that move along the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. And God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let's pause there and pray. Gracious God, we cannot live by bread alone. We live by every word that comes to us from your mouth. So open today our ears, our minds, and our hearts that we could receive and live in your living word, who is Jesus. Amen. Amen. You can take a seat. It is so hard to believe good news. It is so hard to believe good news. If you flipped on talk radio or queued up your favorite podcast or cable news network, I wish we could ban the cable news network, all of them. But if you flip those on, you open your paper. Anybody still open a paper? If you open your paper, and if all the news was good news, could you receive that? If the headlines were that the Russians and Ukrainians had worked everything out, that the Palestinians and the Israelis had figured thing out, that we had figured out this whole tariff and free trade thing and understood what it meant to find maximum employment, if the criminals surrendered all their guns and their drugs and our beat cops were so bored that they didn't know what to do. If all the news were good, would we be able to believe it? Would our hearts really have the capacity to rest only in what is good and what is whole? But that's not just for us as consumers of the news media. That's for us personally, individually as well. Some of you may have heard me tell this story. Years ago, we surprised our kids on Christmas morning with a next day trip to Disney World in Orlando. Drove down, parked from sunup to sundown, all this, just one day, threw it all, left it all in the park. And we stayed that year. Pinch and pennies, we stayed right outside the park at a nice condo kind of place. It was so good. It was one of those you didn't even have to attend the mandatory like sales pitch thing, like please buy forever and come back in 2 weeks every year, but maybe not here, maybe somewhere, you know, all that thing. Months later, great experience at Disney, great experience at the condo. Months later, I got a check in the mail from the condo company. $500. I was the quarterly prize winner. I remembered filling out a slip of paper and dropping it into a glass bowl, and every quarter they award a lucky customer $500. But I wasn't so sure about that $500. I kept looking at that check. I carried it around for 4 or 5 days. I got a magnifying glass to see if there was fine print, if there was a catch somewhere that if I signed that, I would be signing up, committing to something, and yada, yada. I finally Googled the condo company and called their headquarters. And I said, hey, I've got this check in the mail, $500. And the lady laughed at me. She laughed at me and assured me that it was the real deal. It was a contest. It was a prize. The $500 was mine. But what also surprised me? I was not the first person to call with that question. Everybody with a gift, a free gift, something good, it was hard to believe that there really was good news. I had it in my hand. I carried it around for days. I hadn't cashed it. I hadn't found its full potential. It was just to me a piece of paper. I literally had it all right in my hands. And friends, here's what I want to remind us about God's goodness in creation. At that moment when He made the whole earth, we had it all. I mean, you hear the beauty of that first chapter and everything God had laid out. And accept this truth, friend. Every time God said it was good, and at the end when He said it was very good, He means it. We had it all. He set the table for us perfectly. Genesis 1 repeats and rehearses the goodness of creation. God's work prepared by God for His glory and for our good. The Bible begins with this perfect story. In my April teaching series, leading us toward Easter and beyond, my April teaching series is going to walk us through in 4 steps that whole perfect story, the story of the Bible, the story of the gospel, the story of your life and my life. We had it all, the gift of creation. Come back next week. We lost it all. Human rebellion and rejection of God's good plan. That's not a real good commercial. We had it all. Come back next week because we're going to lose it all. It's Palm Sunday. The kids will be here. You'll be here. I planned it that way. We had it all. We lost it all. Easter Sunday, He did it all. What did Jesus do? He did it all. And the Sunday after, the abundant promise of life. We had it all. We lost it all. He did it all. And we get it all. We get it all. There's a promise in the gospel that's beyond simply salvation. A promise for every abundance of life that Christ offers. We had it all. Back to Genesis 1. Now you got the commercial. Genesis 1. We had it all. God made the world good. You saw that repetition as we were reading chapter 1. And God did something and did something. And then He stood back for a second and He said, it was good. Six times God pronounces His creation good. The light, the separation of sea from dry land. Everyone with a boat say amen. It's God's idea to separate water from dry land. Plants and trees, it was good. The sun, the moon, and the stars, they are good. The fish and the birds, they are good. The land animals, they are good. And then that seventh time, that last time at the end of the sixth day, after you and I show up on the scene, after humanity, the pinnacle, the peak of God's creative energy, the pinnacle of God's glory in goodness, when God creates humankind in His image, in His likeness, when God appoints, this is a whole other sermon, but when God appoints humanity as His regent, as His representative to govern over and guard and make fruitful everything on this planet. That's our assignment, to receive what is good and to keep it good and to reflect that goodness back for the glory of God. This world is made to be a good world, and it's made also to be for God's purposes, God's good purposes. It's made for our good, but it's not made for us to receive and then figure out in our own way how we want to exploit it or manipulate it or use it. God made the world for our good, but for His purpose. There's really one word in Genesis chapter 1, one word that helps us see God develop His purpose. And it's this word, depending on the translation, it's either separate or divide or gathered. You notice in verse 2, when the Spirit of God is hovering over the shapeless void, everything that would be creation is formless and it is empty. And then in a moment, it's not. It is formless and empty, and God speaks a word, a life-giving word, a creative word, and by God's word, nothing becomes something. And something is no longer disordered, but ordered, separated, divided. In the poetry of these 6 days, everything is organized. Notice the pattern. God makes spaces or places, and then He makes things, beings, objects to fill those spaces. He makes a sky, and then He fills the sky with star and great light and lesser light. And then, you know, here's a side note. Genesis 1 doesn't even call it the sun and the moon. Think about that. The sun was probably the most powerful thing that any ancient person ever encountered. So it was most likely the object of worship. People all across the world have worshiped the sun as a god. Notice this. In Genesis 1, God doesn't even give the sun a name, to remind us that it may be powerful and bright and seem like it controls things, but God Himself is higher. It's just the big light. And the moon, likewise, it's just the little light. The things we're tempted to worship, God sets them in their places. He organizes life and the universe so that everything knows its purpose, and so that every person would know their purpose. And there's distinction, light and dark, animal and human, male and female. Set apart, all of it set apart to be His. Notice this, there's not part of creation that belongs to someone else, and even the part that's given to us is given to us as we are given to God. Nothing runs, nobody runs on their own. This is for God's good purposes. Friends, this is the story of the whole Bible. Read past Genesis 1 to Genesis 12 and meet Abraham and Sarah. And God's choosing a man and a woman, a family, and He says, I'm going to bless the whole creation through this family. And then from that family comes one nation, Israel, and God says, same words, I'm going to set apart this nation, not because they're ultra special, but because they're going to be my people and reflect my purpose and my goodness in the world, and I'll bless them, and they will bless all nations. And then from Abraham to Israel, and then through to Jesus. It's a setup for the story from the very beginning. Genesis 1, friends, is getting us ready for Jesus. The one who is God and man, the one who is the fulfillment of this promise that we had it all. We had it all. And from the beginning, God's promise is that. From Jesus, then through the church and all of us who would be His disciples. God made the world not for your purpose. He didn't make Jesus for your purpose. He didn't make the church for your purpose. He made it all. He gave it all. He sent it all for His purpose. God is good and His world is good, and His world and us in it, we exist for God's purpose, and God's good creation initiates a cycle of compounded blessing. You know what compounded interest is, right? You save a little now and it sits and it grows, and over time you leave it alone and it's more on a mathematical level, more than it ever could be. God's blessing, the creation, is a deposit of truth. It's a deposit of blessing in the world. It's a deposit of truth in the very structure of the universe. And God has created it to receive more truth and more grace and more light from God. God sent after creation. He sent Moses and the law. He sent the prophets. And though we resisted that and still resist that, and choose our own assignments and our own purposes, all that God has revealed to us is for our good and for His glory. Now, the common objection to this idea of God's goodness in creation is the problem of evil. Well, if this, why storms like we've seen? Why sickness like we know? The problem of evil. Why do people do this and that? And that's, again, that's a whole other subject for discussion. But what I want to tell you, if you want to say, well, why this bad thing? Why this evil thing? I think a better question to wrestle with is, why is it not worse? We stop and say, well, why? If God is good, then why this evil? But I want to counter that and say, why is it not worse? Why is there not more warfare? Why is there not more famine and more disease and more devastation? And why does humanity not just burn ourselves up and burn ourselves out and cease to exist? I believe it's because God has planted in the order of creation a power of blessing, a power of goodness, that is actually stronger than anything we can throw at it. And it's that compounded blessing, that buildup of blessing, that will sustain human life from Adam and Eve when they're in the garden, and then when they're out of the garden, from Abraham, blessed to be a blessing, Israel shining like a star in the world to be a blessing to all, and then Jesus. We had it all, friends. It didn't all start bad. You can't talk about creation and say, well, we had it some. We had a little. We had a decent start. No, we had it all, friends. We had it all. It was God's good blessing. So here's what I want us to do, how we want to wrap up as we prepare to come to the Lord's table for communion. First, a couple of questions. What is your best evidence of God's goodness? When you start to waver, what helps you know? What gives you a hint that God's had His hand at work? What reveals His goodness for you? Second, let's be honest. Where do you find it hard? What makes it difficult for you to receive that good news that creation is good? Where do you find yourself skeptical or cynical or burned or doubting? And offer that to God and invite Him. Invite Him to engage you and convince you. Because here's the thing. Jesus invites us. When God says this is all good, He invites us to move with Him forward. He doesn't take us back to Eden. He doesn't take us back to the origin of creation. He takes us forward into restoration. And He offers you, while it may be hard for you to believe there's good news, He offers you more than a $500 check from a condo company in Orlando. He offers you more than that. He offers you eternal life. And this table, as we come to the Lord's table, this is the reminder. It's the reminder of God's goodness that we had it all. And it's a reminder that God is willing to stick with us until we find our way back to that goodness again. Find our way forward, really, to that goodness again through Jesus. Jesus is the pledge. Jesus is the pledge of God's goodness. It may be a reminder of what God has already done, but it's an invitation to what He has ahead for us. Friends, we had it all. So receive this invitation from Christ and receive all that He offers us today in His living sacrifice, His body and His blood, that we would rest in the security of God's goodness, knowing that we have it all. Let's pray together. Father, we love You, and we count on the truth that You are good. When we've had a hard time receiving that, when disappointment has clouded us, and we've been distracted by our thoughts and our feelings, bring us home again to that place where we began, that place of goodness and order, that place of life where we know Your goodness and Your glory through Jesus. Amen. On the night in which Jesus gave Himself for us, He took bread, He gave thanks over it,